to the Web 2.0 show with your hosts, Josh Owens
and Chris Saylor. We're a show about the new web,
the latest thoughts and technology behind internet development and content delivery. Welcome to episode 21. We have Heather Champ with us. Heather works for Flickr. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Heather, where you're from, who you worked for in the past before Flickr, and I guess how you got involved with Flickr.
Hi, I'm a Canadian citizen. I've been living in the States pretty much since 1990. I built my first homepage in 1994 when I was working for the School of Architecture. They wanted a website for the School of Architecture, and they sent me to this brown bag lunch where I learned how to use a HyperCart application so I could create a page at a time for a website, and that was 94, so everything was ugly and left justified or centered with a gray background in Times New Roman. And from then, a year later, I moved to new media design. I moved into New York. I left Princeton, and I worked for a number of companies in New York and Montreal and in San Francisco as a designer. Most of those companies don't exist anymore, which is pretty much, I think, business as usual in the life of startups. But I've done work for companies like Benetton, Cartier, Sweet & Low, Sony, AOL, that kind of stuff. So my background is design. And I came to Flickr a year ago, just over a year ago, as community manager, given my background in, I started a website called The Mirror Project back in 98, which is one of the early sites where people could contribute their photographs to share. At that point, sort of pre-blogging, there weren't as many avenues for people to share their work, so I have experience working with people uploading and sharing their photos that way. And I'm an avid photographer myself, so those things came together, and Katerina is actually a very old friend of my husband's, and I met her years ago when I first moved to San Francisco. So last year, after the acquisition, I pinged her and was like, "Oh, congratulations, that's great, it's so wonderful, you're moving back to San Francisco. And if there's anything I can do, let me know." And she was like, "Well, there is." And from there, we began a discussion, and I joined the community as community manager in May at Flickr.
Very cool. Actually, you're married to Derek, right? Derek.
Derek Pawlak is my husband.
Yeah, and he writes for. I know I've seen his stuff on A List Apart and various other places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he and I have both been online forever, and we actually met at South by South in 2000 and got married a couple of years ago.
Cool stuff.
Cool, you actually met at South by Southwest. That's interesting.
Oh, did you meet Derek?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He was saying it's cool you guys met there.
Yeah, we actually, I know, it was interesting. We went back. That was the year, that Meg and Jason met, and it was the year that Derek and I met, and there's another couple, I don't know if you know, Pablo Johnson and Ariana, I'm really bad with names, I can't remember Ariana's last name, but they met and they got married a few years ago, so there's kind of an in-joke that it was the year of love, and so, yeah.
So, Heather, tell us a little more about your community manager position. Like, what does that entail?
So my role is kind of to both represent the needs and wants and desires of the community to the team, and also to sort of represent the team, sort of the face of the team on the site itself. So I spend time in the forums answering questions. I try to keep an eye on, you know, what's going on and what needs to be addressed, and if things, you know, the good, sort of the good, the bad, and the ugly, passing that back and forth and trying to ensure that the community is represented in the team. I also manage the customer care aspects in terms of people who write in help, and I do all of the, I sort of am the first point of contact for the abuse mitigation. So, you know, when things go wrong, I get to do that. So sometimes I consider that my job title should be elephant keeper or something like that.
So on the Flickr website, there's a funny little line that says, "Don't be creepy, don't be that guy." what exactly is that guy, and how do you deal with that?
Well, I think one of the wonderful things about Flickr is that it's a true microcosm of the real world. And in the real world, you know, there are those people who's just that guy. And we have us, you know, people on Flickr who are that guy. And it's kind of like that age old, you know, what is porn is, you know it when you see it kind of thing. And the creepy, you just know what creepy behavior is. And so I don't know if you're familiar with our block tool. When a member blocks another, those numbers aggregate. And so if we can see that somebody's getting too many blocks, we know that something's going on and they may be that guy. And so we'll drop them a line like, "Hey, you know, I'm joining Flickr. You agree to our community guidelines and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, if you don't sort of get with the program, we may terminate your account." So
the standards really are kind of community driven.
Absolutely. We really want the community to, as much as possible, determine sort of what the waterline is for acceptable behavior. And we step in when we see that, you know, unusual numbers over a short period of time or something like that. And we don't want to come across as a real hard ass, but I think sometimes just need a reminder that there are real people involved and you are accountable for your behavior. So, mm-hmm. And we do like to give people a second chance where possible.
That's cool, because I mean, I know there's a lot of tasteful nudity on the website, on Flickr. It's actually artistic as opposed to straight up, you know, obviously porn's not allowed.
Actually, I had a bad run in there.
porn is a really difficult word because, you know, what I consider porn, even artistic nudity, what everybody, you know, my background is fine arts. And so what I may consider as artistic nude isn't what you might consider as artistic nude. And there's definitely stuff that is illegal and prohibited content. You know, that stuff that is, you know, child pornography, you know, the nasty stuff, the stuff you just don't want to see, like incest, bestiality, rape, all that, that's not allowed. But in terms of porn, if it's content that doesn't fall into the illegal or prohibited areas, our members are allowed to share that privately. That you can upload it to Flickr, but it has to be shared privately. We are working towards not so much as an adult wall. Well, it will be the Flickr version of an adult wall, and I can't really talk about that because it's kind of a work in progress, and it's not that I don't want to talk about it, but it's kind of, you know, we're trying to figure out the best way to implement it. So our bottom line is we want to ensure that every member of the community has the experience that they want. And a lot of the times, it's not the actual content that's at issue, it's people's behavior around the content. So if you are saying, you know, you had a run-in recently, what we see sometimes is, you know, people do upload their content privately, but then they go on a spree and, you know, make everybody friends. So you get a note saying, "Hey, so-and-so has made you a friend," and you go and see, and it's like, "Oh, my God, it's his penis." And it's, you know, that's... that's kind of that guy. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's you've just been, somebody coined the term before I started, Flickr flashed. And, you know, So, and that's not good. And so we're going to have, you know, we're working towards something where you'll get a warning like, "Hey, the content you're about to see is outside of your comfort zone," something like that. So you'll know, you know, not to click through or something like that. But really it's, you know, our goal or, you know, my goal, especially as community managers, to ensure that every member of the community, you know, is comfortable And it's a really large community, and it's difficult because, you know, I really don't want to be the arbiter of what is or isn't appropriate if it's not illegal or prohibited content. And I think that people need to, they need to be respectful of the community as a whole, but we don't want to be censors in determining, you know, what is right for your, you know, your community, because Flickr isn't a community, it's many communities, and, you know, each of those individual communities within our overarching community, you know, find, you know, people who are like-minded and, you know, want to take pictures of flowers or cats or...
photo booth from Mac.
Yeah.
That's my current favorite.
You know, just, like, there are so many wonderful and diverse communities, and we want to keep it as elastic as possible. But the overarching premise is people need to respect their fellow community members. And that's where we run into issues with that guy, with, you know, people who want to overshare.
My particular run-in was actually with, my guess would be, tagging abuse.
Okay.
Someone had... I usually surf through. I go and look and see what the top tags are, because usually you'll find some kind of tech event is always listed there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'll click on the tags and surf through them. And I saw a weird tag. It was like mobile life or something like that. And it was one of the top tags for the week. And I clicked on it, and there was, you know, there was the nude photo. It was some guy's, you know, phone. He had taken a picture of him and a girl, and just totally out there. And I was at work, and I'm like, oh, crap. So it was kind of crazy. But how do you guys, I mean, how do you handle tagging abuse? Do you find that the community, like you were talking about earlier, just kind of helps you clean that up? Or
absolutely. We've, from the very beginning, there have been ways. You know, we've had the forums, the help forums, we have next to each photograph, there's the "This May Be Offensive" link. And we, I guess a few months ago, implemented a report abuse link. So at the bottom of every page, if you click on that link when, like if you were on the page where you saw that photograph and you clicked report abuse, it's going to generate a form that includes the URL of where you were, and you'd say, this may be life, but it's not appropriate kind of thing. And we get those reports, or I get those reports, and we look at them, and, you know, we'll take action. We'll look at it against the terms of service and the community guidelines, we'll do what we need to do. So in that instance, it probably sounds like that. I don't know. I haven't seen the photograph, so it's hard for me to say, but that probably needs to be shared privately. So we would take action. And so people use that forum to get in touch with us and just let us know, like, hey, you know, take a look at this. I don't think this is right.
Now, on the flip side of that, if the content isn't necessarily, you know, abusive type content, it's not against the terms of service, but you find maybe someone's tagging it just to get more picture views to it, do you guys have to deal with that in any way? Do you get a lot of questions about that?
Something we see, it tends to be new users who are really finding their feet in the community, and stuff that we see periodically and is reported are individuals who scrape all of the hot tags and tag every one of their photographs with all of those hot tags. So you end up with just a morass of stuff that doesn't make sense.
Right.
And, we're lucky enough that we, you know, have the capability to deal with everything on a case-by-case basis. When it's gross, you know, that is kind of spam in a way, just spamming the search results. We might mark that account as NPSA, and then eventually when somebody figures out, hey, my pictures aren't, you know, returning, they'll send us an email and we'll be like, well, you know, look at this, and this, and, you know, this isn't kind of an appropriate use. If you want to, you know, take off some of those tags, we'd be more than happy to review your account. So, we're more than happy to work with every member to sort of get them to understand kind of what the ground rules are. And if something's really inappropriate for tagging, you know, it's, that's, I don't know. But it's also very difficult. You know, sometimes we'll get stuff through report abuse, like, I live in so-and-so, and this picture wasn't taken in so-and-so. I want that tag taken off. And we can't judge why that tag was put on. It may make sense in the mind of that individual that isn't evident to us, like, why it's tagged that way. But we can't become the, you know, we don't want to create the hierarchy of what the tagging is and have everybody to adhere to it. It works because everybody comes up with their own system. But you know, we're more than happy to review any time when somebody looks like they're getting a little slap
spammish.
Happy. Yeah, spammy, spammerific with the tagging.
Now, how are pictures, how are the front page pictures chosen?
Yeah, because there's some awesome ones that end up on
the
front page.
The front page, like when you sign in? When you first sign in, that's stuff that George Oates, who is our designer, and I like will keep a list of nice things that we see and feel that would kind of represent the community in a way. She does the quotes that follow them at the bottom. That's something that she really likes to do. So those are just sort of editorialized from the community by the team.
Now, here's an interesting question. With since the photo's already in Flickr, I mean, do you guys have to look at the licensing of the photo before you can choose to put it on the front page?
George will contact the member and let them know what we want to do. So we wouldn't use that.
Okay.
If they said, like, no, I don't want you to do that, we totally respect that. So
right.
We go beyond.
I can't imagine you get too many no's, though.
You know, I'd have to ask George that. I don't think so. But in something like that, we're very we really want to respect the photographers, and we always ask when we're going to use something like that.
Yeah. Now, there was a post I saw. I think it was on Tara Hunt's website blog. She posted something about the new campaign you guys are doing with Nikon.
Oh, the Nikon Stunning Gallery.
Yeah, with the stunning photos.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There was actually, you released your photos under Creative Commons, and one of your photos actually showed up because you tagged it.
Yes.
But I think you release them under the non-commercial license.
Yes.
So her question was, you know, is that a commercial use since it's actually selling Nikon products?
I, as a photographer, even though I have tagged my photos as non-commercial use, if I want to extend permissions to somebody else to use that photograph, I consciously added those photographs to Nikon Stunning Gallery. So for Nikon Stunning Gallery, members of our community, if you go to the site, it explains how to have your work reviewed, like considered for inclusion in that. If you apply a license to your photograph, at any point, the photographer in question can extend the license to whomever. So I consciously decided
right.
that I wanted to add that. So
okay.
I think there's a bit of confusion there about how the gallery was actually functioning, as if Nikon was...
Okay. Yeah, I thought maybe it was just pulling a tag automatically and
no.
displaying them.
Well, it is pulling the tag and displaying it, but the photographer themselves has to add the tag. And then at any point, if... decide that you want to not participate, then you just remove the tag, and I think within 24 hours it won't appear in the gallery anymore. So
okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. So that was a yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
Interesting.
let's switch gears a little bit here. Let's talk about the Flickr blog. Do you feel that blogging is an essential tool for talking to your Flickr community?
Absolutely. I think it's an opportunity for the team to share some of the things that we see in the community. There aren't many places on the site where we have editorialized content at all. Like so much of what is seen on Flickr is, you know, in terms of interestingness, that's, you know, the secret sauce algorithm-based. That having something like Flickr blog enables us to bring things in front of the community in a way that doesn't really exist elsewhere on the site. We recently started adding links to the Flickr meets that are happening worldwide, and so those are listed in the right-hand side. So I think it's also a great place where people can find out, you know, where their like-minded Flickr mates are getting together.
How does someone get listed? I mean, if they're going to have a Flickr meet, how do they get listed in there?
At the bottommost link on that left-hand column says, how do I have my event listed here? And it links to our original blog post where we talk about that. But they need to just, what we're doing is, at this point in time, we're requesting that people post it to upcoming, because then we know that all of the information is there, that somebody could find the event and attend. Send us the upcoming link through help by email. And if they want swag, like buttons and stickers and name tags, give us their postal address and send it to Flickr by mail, help by email, hopefully with enough time, you know, a couple weeks in advance so that we can get it listed. Send that to us and I'll post the event and we'll drop some swag into the mail to people. And it was so amazing when we did it, the demand far exceeded the supply and we ran out of swag and we just got more in, and I spent the last few days sort of bundling up 30 different events that are happening around the world, like from China to Chile to various places in the U.S. So it's interesting. They're happening worldwide. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
it's pretty awesome. Well, it's wonderful to get like push away from the computer and start meeting people. And I don't know if you've been to a Flickr meet, but they're a lot of fun. It's pretty interesting.
No, I just look at the pictures. <all day>. Like the Flickr Tunes 2 party. I remember spending like half a day just looking through all those photos.
Yeah.
Can you still hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's really weird because I got a little box that popped up that said the application Skype quit unexpectedly.
Yeah, don't do anything.
So, yeah, that's kind of weird. I guess it's still working. I probably don't want to reopen.
No, probably not.
Oh, I can't do anything else either. Oh, how nice. All right.
So, what other communication methods do you use to talk to the Flickr community besides, you know, the blog or stuff like that?
Well, if things are sort of behaving weirdly, we'll put a notice at the top of the pages. We don't have any sort of email conduit, like a newsletter or anything at the moment. So it really is the blog or participating on the site.
Are you in charge of planning the public events, like the Flickr Turns 2 party?
Yes. Well, I'm the main cat herder, and I will try and get everything organized. But that is one of my functions as community manager.
What is the most interesting part of your job?
I think I kind of am stunned every day that I get paid to look at people's beautiful photographs. It's really a pleasure. The quality and the breadth and the vision that people are sharing with us on a day-to-day basis is really, it's stunning. We kind of joke that Flickr is kittens, babies, sunsets, and flowers, but it's so much more than that. And it's interesting, one of my coworkers, John Alspa, who is our director of operations, he and his wife had a baby on Tuesday, and everybody on staff was like, reload, where's the photo, you know, like that. And so, we got to see Sadie pretty soon after she was born, and that was great. And just, the recent demonstrations in Paris and then in Chile, and the eyes of the world, like just seeing so many different viewpoints is really...
Yeah, like an insider's view.
Well, I'm getting so much more of my news. If you go to the hot tags, like last year, I found out about the London bombings by seeing something on Flickr Central, that something was going on. And just different, it's... We have such a a breadth of members that if something is happening somewhere, it's very likely that somebody is documenting and sharing that. So it really enriches my life in a way much more than any other job I've has done. So I'm very fortunate in that.
Yeah, it seems like there's like one or two cool jobs in every company. Like I know Tara Hunt had a similar kind of chief blogging job for Rhea
mm-hmm.
for a while. So those are some pretty neat jobs to actually have.
I've paid my dues. I think there's one cool job in every life if you're very, very lucky. So.
Yeah. So you may not be able to answer this one so much since you weren't with Flickr prior to being purchased by Yahoo, but do you know of any major changes or policy revisions that happened since Yahoo bought Flickr that you can talk about?
Not that I'm aware of. I think everything, when we first published the community guidelines earlier this year, everybody was like, oh my God, all this stuff is new, where's this coming from? And that's everything that's within the guidelines has existed from the beginning, but how you telegraph that in a community of 20,000 people versus 2.5 million people is very different. And at a certain point, you need to kind of solidify it into one area. There haven't been any policy changes. New members who joined after August 15th of last year, now you have to have a Yahoo ID to sign in. They sign into the Yahoo Terms of Service. That document is very much like everything that's contained within that document. There's a comparable, a similar thing to it that's in the original Flickr Terms of Use. It's just much more like lawyers wrote it. So you have endless paragraphs in all caps. It's completely non-readable by any human. So really, in striving to creating a document like the community guidelines, it was really to kind of bring it into an area where everybody could read it, because you just can't telegraph that information through such a large community. Penises are for private kind of thing. That's something that it is harder to kind of get through the community when we're growing so rapidly. So there haven't been any policy changes, and I know for a fact that that is true.
I guess probably the only real fallout that happened was in getting bought by Yahoo was, I do remember the whole switch to Yahoo ID. People
yes.
went nuts over that.
Really?
Oh, yeah. A lot of people upset.
No, not at all.
Yeah, it was all over the blogosphere for a while, but then it died.
No,
yeah,
people were going to stage a, there was a whole group of people that are going to remove all of their content. Because it actually changed, I believe it forced them to change their policy, because they were going to force everybody to sign up for a Yahoo ID, even if you had a Flickr ID. And then a whole bunch of people got together and said, listen, we're going to take all of our stuff off of Flickr if you force us to get a Yahoo ID. And so I think that's actually why, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm sure our listeners will, that's actually why when you go to Flickr and you log in, you can choose to log in with your legacy Flickr ID or with your Yahoo ID.
At the present time, yes. The group in question is called Flick Off, for people who are most upset. So new members who create accounts after August 15th do have to have a YID to log in. And at some point, you will need to have a YID to log in, and the legacy system won't exist anymore.
That is going away, yeah.
It is going to happen. I don't have an ETA on that, but that's definitely. It's difficult to run two systems in parallel, like that. And I think there definitely were some valid concerns when it first happened, because it was really kind of buggy and clunky. But that's kind of worked its way through in terms of, I think it would log you off, and the cookies were kind of warped and things like that. But those have been dealt with. At some point, we will continue with that. But I think with any change is difficult, and I think it's hard it's hard for people. I personally hate change, and so I'm, you know, dealing with that recently with our Gamma launch. Some people were very unhappy, and they created their own group, so it seems to be the thing to do. I don't mean to make light of it, because I do understand it's difficult, some people may not, you know, may choose to leave Flickr at the point where we require a Yahoo ID. I hope that they would reconsider, because I think it's hard, you know, change is made not for, you know, it's not like we're sitting around eating bonbons like, oh, how can we, you know, torment our members today? I know. Let's make them sign in with a YID. There are, you know, valid reasons about, you know, benefits to that that may not, you know, I think eventually, you know, one of the things that people dislike so much are our limited payment or what appear to be limited payment options. Well, once we're all signed over, we'll have, you know, there'll be different ways of doing it. So there are benefits. It's not, we don't see the community as like a voodoo doll and we're going to just keep sticking pins into people. and as much as possible, we too, you know, we like to listen and we, you know, we do like to listen to what people are saying and take that into account. And as we move forward, try and do things differently and communicate better and so that there's less cause for angst.
Yeah, there's a huge problem with communication because I know, like, with the whole did you hear about the whole Web 2.0 term fiasco?
No. Trademark. No, what's that?
O'Reilly and CMP, actually CMP trademarked the term Web 2.0.
Oh, God.
But it was only in the context of conferences. And so the blogosphere, without doing, you know, a lot of people didn't really do their research, kind of assumed that it was a full-blown trademark on all users of Web 2.0, and so it just got out of hand.
I think that doing due diligence is something that many bloggers can benefit from. That's just, you know, I was at the Flickr, the SF Flickr meet last night, and Scott Beal of Laughing Squid was there. And he was talking about shaking the beehive and just sort of how that, you know, you do things where you pick up the beehive, you shake it, and you make the bees really angry. And I think something like trademarking Web 2.0, even if for conferences, is a really kind of, that's not a good marketing decision, I have to say.
Well, it was actually just standard operating procedure from CMP. I mean, even CMP runs all the conferences.
Right.
I think it's CMP, and they actually have a conference called Software Development, and they have a trademark on software development in the context of conferences. And you might think, how in the world could you possibly get a trademark on software development? But in a specific context, yeah, I guess you can. But that's the whole argument. You know, can you and should you?
Right. Exactly. The should you, I think, is interesting. Sort of like what is really part of the public domain and should remain part of the public domain rather than people getting grabby.
I think I saw someone say we should trademark the letter D.
Derek's going to be so to luck if that happens. He'll be Eric Pawazek. Eric Pawazek with a unique spelling.
Yeah, tell him we just changed
the
name.
I will pass that on.
You know, here's the big question we always ask. What super secret stuff are you guys working on? I know you just released the Gamma, you said.
I think that I, you know what, I can't talk about it, but I think there's stuff that's coming soon that is going to make the organizer very, very interesting, and that's really all I can say. So the why the organizer looks the way it does will become very clear shortly. Does that make sense?
Excellent.
I don't know.
Once we see it, it might make sense.
How many people are fired after they answer this question is really part of the, you know, the super secret.
No one's really answered
really?
It, so we couldn't give you a number.
Yeah.
So don't feel inclined. Well, I take that back. I think Ryan King answered it and said that he was not bought by Yahoo, and that was his big announcement.
Did Jeff Veen come on before or after he'd left Adaptive Path?
After.
Right after, actually. Yeah, it was
he
at,
wasn't
at
fired.
South by
we
Southwest.
Could start the rumor that he was actually fired for answering that question on your show. So,
yeah, and we had to remove him.
That's so sad. Poor Jeff.
Yeah. All right, well, thanks for being on the show, Heather.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
And have a great day.
You too.
This has been a SteelPixel production. For more information about SteelPixel, you can check out steelpixel.com. Or for more information about the show, feel free to check out web20show.com. That's web20show.com.
Sorry about that, Heather.
That's okay. Are you going to edit out the blank spots after I stop talking and stuff like that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
You're going to make me sound more intelligent, right?
Yes, we all sound very intelligent when
Excellent.
We get done.
There's a filter for that.
Yes. Thank goodness.
Yeah, nobody actually sounds as good as they do in real life as they do on the podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. I think I sound like Minnie Mouse. I'm always pretty horrified to hear myself talk.
Oh, no.
No, it's actually not that bad. It's not bad at all. Not bad. It's just an expression.
Okay. And then we got off to a really great start.
Hey, we're geeks. What can we do?
No, yeah.
Poor social skills.
Okay.